I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. Oh, remember when we could travel everywhere? Well, guess what? We are going to learn more about travel from our guest today, and we want to welcome to KDWA Ted Blank. He is a travel advisor with Travel Leaders in River Falls, and he is here to give us some good advice about if we like to travel, how we still can. Ted, really nice to chat with you. I'm glad you could call in today.
Thanks for inviting me. Glad to be here.
Well, so let's talk about travel. You have been in this industry for how long?
About 10 years.
So let's go back to even a year ago. Were things okay? What have been some of the issues over the years that you've encountered? And I'm sure it's nothing like we're facing today.
No, it's nothing like we're facing today. And, you know, last year at this time, we were looking at record-breaking bookings for 2020. It was going to be a year to really blow things out of the water. And we were worried about things like over-tourism and, you know, destinations getting too crowded and really being spoiled with choice. You know, the traveler has so many choices available to them. And then all of a sudden, around the beginning of March, the whole world changed.
When I first started hearing more about COVID, it was in the news because of cruise ships.
Yes, there were a lot of COVID outbreaks, and the cruise ship ones certainly got a lot of attention. And so there was the Diamond Princess cruise ship in Japan that really kind of dominated the news in late February.
And at that point, were you thinking, oh gosh, this might be something that I'm going to have to worry about as a travel leader?
Yeah, it was kind of something we were thinking was going to last maybe 6 to 8 weeks. You know, we thought it would kind of be a quick spike, quick over, and we'd move on. And we were wrong. That's certainly not what happened.
So let's talk about what happened during the initial lockdown. Did you have people that were perhaps stranded different places? You had to try to help get them home?
Yeah, the lockdown actually hit Minnesota right at the peak of our spring break trip. So during those times when a lot of folks and a lot of families had trips planned to warm destinations, they were either cut short or they were canceled at the very last minute. And so as an agency, we had to work to get a lot of folks back from where they were. Fortunately, we didn't have anybody stranded any place where we couldn't help them out, but we had a lot of people who had vacations either cut short or canceled right away when COVID hit. And then, of course, as the year has unfolded, we've had more and more cancellations and postponements of trips. Because really, you know, through July and August, the only options for travel were basically domestic. You could drive or you could fly to destinations, not everywhere, but to many destinations just here in the United States. And then around the middle of August, we started to see reopenings of some international destinations, Mexico, the Caribbean, South America are either open again for tourism or are in the process of opening for tourism.
So when you say they're open, a lot of these places you're talking about, we can fly there, but then we have to stay in our hotel room supposedly for 2 weeks or something and quarantine.
So Mexico is completely open. They don't have any quarantine requirements. And many of the countries that initially have that 2-week quarantine program have replaced it with a requirement for a negative COVID test before travel. So, for example, if you want to go to Jamaica, you need to have a COVID test done here in Minnesota before you go, and it needs to be negative, and you need to provide the results to the Jamaican government before you can travel. But then with that, you're not required to quarantine upon arrival.
So where can we go if we are just itching? We've obviously had a snowfall way too early.
Yes,
and
I know.
So did your phone start ringing when the snow was coming down from people that are saying, ugh, I want to go someplace warm?
They did. It was kind of heartening to see that for us. But right now, Mexico is open to American tourists, essentially like normal. There is no requirement for a pre-travel test. You know, when you get there, the resorts do have a lot of new protocols in place, and we can talk a little bit about what those are later. But Mexico is open. Jamaica is open with the requirement for a negative COVID test. The Dominican Republic is open, and many of the smaller Caribbean islands either have reopened or they're reopening in late October, early November.
And are most of these countries doing this because they rely so much on tourism?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, tourism is a really vital part of the economy for a lot of smaller countries and tropical destinations. So it is absolutely driving their decisions. You know, they haven't been quiet during the times when travel has been shut down. They've been putting in place a lot of new protocols on the ground. So part of it is also them saying, you know, we're confident that the protocols we have in place are adequate to protect both our own citizens and travelers to our country.
So tell us about what some of those protocols are, please.
Sure. So, you know, it's going to start out actually when you get to the airport. And if you haven't flown in the last couple of months, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by a lot of the changes that the airlines have made. So, of course, everything is cleaner now. Airports and airplanes are sanitized more often, and in fact, the airlines are using foggers on the airplanes between every flight. So those electrostatic foggers, you've probably seen them on TV, mm-hmm. They, you know, fog the air, and they capture any, you know, impurities and viruses and things like that in the air, and they neutralize them.
And how about seating, though? Because I heard originally, you know, planes weren't very full and you could really spread out. Are some airlines better at distancing on planes?
Yes, absolutely. There's quite a difference. The first thing is, of course, you will have to wear a mask in the airport and on the plane. Delta has blocked the middle seats on all of their flights through the beginning of January. They are right now the only major airline that does that. The other airlines do not block the middle seat, so it is possible that somebody would sit next to you.
And have you been on flights? Are they full?
They're not. Well, it depends. It can very much depend. They're getting more and more full, and the airlines are starting to increase their capacity a little bit. So there are definitely flights that are full, and then there are flights that are completely empty. I've actually had a chance to tour the airport, but my first flight is coming up next week. I'm going to fly to Jamaica, and right now the flight to Jamaica is fairly empty. But unfortunately, there's no longer a nonstop flight there, so I have to fly to Atlanta to make that connection. And the flight to Atlanta is fairly full, although the middle seats are blocked.
How did you come to the conclusion that you would like to go to Jamaica?
The first thing is I just really needed a vacation. I just really needed to get out of Dodge. And it's amazing how ever since I put this trip on the books, how my mental health has improved. You know, I have something really, really fun to look forward to. But no, I Jamaica had been on the list of places I wanted to go. There are some new resort properties that have opened up there. Some new amenities have been added that I wanted to check out. And it's just always a nice place to go for kind of a relaxing week in the sun. So it's kind of combining business and pleasure. And then, you know, the other thing is that Jamaica has put in place, I think, some very reasonable but very effective protocols to help, you know, ensure our safety. And so I wanted to experience those firsthand.
So how do you feel about getting on a plane? You mentioned the flight from Minneapolis to Atlanta will be pretty packed. How do you feel about that?
I guess I would say that I'm personally not afraid of getting on an airplane. I think that from what I have seen, the protocols that are in place, that the airlines have put in place to keep us safe are really very similar to the protocols we see now. Like if we go out for dinner or if we go to a store, you know, they're put in place, they're followed, they're enforced, and I don't feel at all uncomfortable about that situation.
But do we have to have a clean bill of health when we fly? We don't, do we?
No, not to fly domestically. However, to be admitted to Jamaica, you do have to have a COVID test, negative COVID test.
So that, I guess, would make me nervous is if anyone coughs on a plane, I think I would have a heart attack.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, no, and there definitely are people who are kind of in that same mindset. There have been some research studies that have been done about transmission of COVID on airplanes, and they've essentially showed that it doesn't happen. One of the reasons for that is that the way the air circulates in the airplane, it actually circulates up and down over your seat, not from front to back. So if you're sitting there, you have your mask on and you cough, those little virus particles are going to go down onto the floor and get sucked out the filters on the airplane. And the filters that they use on airplanes are basically hospital grade air filters. So, you know, as much safety precaution as can be put in place, the airlines have done.
So nothing we do is
risk-free. You know, both of us hopped in the car today and drove to work, and there's a definite risk with that. But I think based on the research and based on, you know, the fact that we haven't seen COVID outbreaks on airplanes, I would say it's a pretty safe bet to fly.
And what would you say the longest you would fly for? Do you think that's part of this?
You know, honestly, for me, what it would come down to is how long I'd be comfortable wearing a mask, because you have to wear a mask on an airplane. So, you know, a 3 or 4 hour flight, maybe that's a mild inconvenience. If you were to fly on a long intercontinental flight of 8 or 10 or 12 hours, that might be too much for me. But those flights are operating today, and folks are traveling on them. They're wearing masks for that long of a flight. So it's kind of a personal choice, I guess.
So I know for a while Hawaii was locked down. How are they doing?
Yeah, so Hawaii has reopened actually in early October. And, you know, it's the same situation where you're required to produce a negative COVID test. I believe it's within 3 days of your departure. And they are seeing kind of a resumption of tourism pretty quickly, and actually probably a little more quickly than anyone was expecting. So they are definitely open for travelers. Again, you're going to see the, you know, social distancing and enhanced sanitation on the ground, and the flights are going to be require you to have that negative COVID test before you go.
And then what about international flights, either to Asia or to Europe?
Depending on the category of person you are, so if, for example, you had dual citizenship in Europe, or if you had a business reason to go to Europe, you can travel on those international flights. But generally, they do require that you do a 7 to 14-day quarantine upon arrival. Essentially, most intercontinental travel has been quite significantly curtailed. So if you're okay doing the quarantine, they're okay welcoming you. But most places are not geared up for kind of what I would consider to be normal tourism at this point.
And what about the cruise industry right now?
Yeah, so as we speak, there is a no-sail order in effect that the CDC has put out. It's supposed to expire on October 31st, and I think there's a good possibility that it could be extended. I think there's also a good possibility that it could be lifted. And again, in this kind of interim time when folks have not been cruising, the cruise lines have put a huge effort into enhancing their onboard safety procedures and their, you know, pre-departure sanitation procedures. So in order to board a cruise, you will also have to have a negative COVID test. They have instituted social distancing, reduced capacity, those types of things. I think initially when cruises resume, whether it's still this year in 2020 or whether it's in 2021, they'll probably be shorter cruises for a month or two, just so that the cruise lines can kind of show how effective their precautions are. And then I think gradually over the course of the year, cruising will open back up and start to, you know, start to get to the frequency and the experience that we're all used to. It is kind of interesting to note that cruises have been operating in Europe since early summer, more or less without incident, and that's on both small ship cruises, river cruises, and actually some very large ship cruises. So the cruise industry has shown that they can do it, and at some point in the not-too-distant future, I think it will pick up back here in the U.S. as well.
So can we get a really good deal right now on travel because companies want us to get out and get going again?
That's an interesting question. The answer is yes and no. There are some places where rates have really come down, and particularly with some of the resorts in, you know, Mexico and the Caribbean, the rates, they're generally low at this time of the year anyway, but they're actually quite a bit lower than normal. But the problem is, instead of having four or five nonstop flights a day from Minneapolis to Cancun, there might be one or there might be none. And so it's the getting there piece that's the expensive piece of things. So when you kind of put those two together, sometimes there are some really good values out there, other times not so much. And as we go into 2021, you know, one of the interesting things that happened was that many cruise lines and tour operators and resorts and airlines offered people vouchers if they were willing to reschedule their trips. And the number of people who took those was really, really high. It was between 60 and 70% of people who had trips booked, depending on, you know, which brand they were booked with. And so all those people have booked trips in 2021 and 2022. And so, you know, if capacity is going to be reduced by 20 or 30%, and all, you know, 60 or 70% of the people who are going to travel this year have rebooked, all of a sudden, we're actually seeing cruises and tours and resorts sold out for prime dates in 2021 already. And so it's going to be a very interesting year in terms of how that all plays out. I think everybody really wants to travel as soon as they're comfortable doing it. And so when people start to travel and they get ready to do it, we may find that their first choice or even their second choice is already gone.
And that's when somebody like you, Ted Blank, can come in and help us as a travel advisor. So how can people get a hold of you, Ted?
Yeah, the best way to get a hold of me is to call me at 651-964-8245, or you can email me at ted@tedblanktravel.com. And I also have a website. It's very simply tedblanktravel.com. You can go there. You can learn about me, more about me. And if you want to subscribe to my newsletter, where I talk about things like you know, travel cautions and destinations that are hot and destinations that are safe, you can do that on the website as well.
Ted, we love that. I'm so glad you called in today to lift our spirits and give us hope that we are going to get on the road again sometime soon.
Yes, I'm excited, and I think we'll be traveling before we know it. So it'll give us all something to look forward to.
Absolutely.
But thanks so much for having me.
You are welcome, and good luck to you with your trip to Jamaica.
Will do. Thanks.
Excellent. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere.